want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. We are off and running with another week here, and I pray that it is going to be a victorious week for you with Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our source. He is everything that we need. And so I encourage you that if you have been holding off, waiting for a time to press in and get serious with your relationship with God, I encourage you, start now. We're going to be recapping a little bit of where we've come from in our Seek First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness, and all these things will be added to you from Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. We'll be recapping that in just a moment, but first I would like to speak to you about the wonderful folks at Wyrick Air in Rockledge, Florida. Their phone number is 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you happen to have a rental property in the area and you're out of the area and need to get a hold of them, you can call them at 1-800-423-7424, 1-800-423-7424. And, you know, you can get in touch with them that way. So, they have been, in business for over 40 years, handling air conditioning needs, heating needs, as well as working in the field of electrical as well. They provide emergency service if necessary. They provide sales, services. They work in residential settings, emergency settings, commercial settings. You name it, they do it. They're here in Brevard County. They can go from the southernmost part of Brevard County to the northernmost, from the east coast to the western border. Wherever you have a problem, they can get to where you are. They will strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be helpful to us and a blessing as well. So we have been talking about Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we have started going through this. There's a lot to this one particular little study that we're doing. And, you know, the great thing about here on the radio is I'm not limited to, you know, how fast I can get through it on a Sunday morning. So we started off looking at why some people don't seek the Lord. Why some people don't seek the Lord. Well, sometimes they don't do it because they are wicked. Their heart is not right with God, and they don't want to have anything to do with Him. They don't think about God. They don't want to retain the knowledge of God. And their circumstances seems to indicate that they don't have any problems, therefore they're not compelled to seek God, and they are very, very proud. They say no matter what God has to say, no matter what He wants us to do, we're going to do what we want to do. Some people are unaware of the changing dynamic. They're unaware that they're older than they've ever been, that their strength is gone, their youth is gone, their health is gone, and there's a disconnect between their reality and their pride. A lot of people substitute human intervention for God. Okay? I want you to know there is no substitute for God. That was in Isaiah chapter 31. We also have been going through what motivates us to seek God. We've been looking at negative motivators. And so some people seek God whenever destruction is at their door. Some people seek God when affliction or sickness or disease comes that way, comes their way. Some people seek God when they've been in captivity. All of a sudden they find themselves released, but they don't know what to do, and so they just need direction. Some people seek God because other people are seeking other spiritual sources. You wouldn't think that that would be a huge problem in America. I want you to know there was a there is a misconception, in my opinion, about what the religious freedom that we have here in America was actually all about. There was not supposed to be a state sanctioned pursuit of one particular vein. Hold on to your seat, Gussie. One particular vein of Christianity. You see, the people who migrated here had come from Europe, where the Anabaptist had been persecuted. The Huguenots had been persecuted. The Pilgrims were persecuted. Catholics persecuted Protestants. Protestants persecuted Catholics. Lutherans were persecuted. People who wanted to have the Word of God in written form in a language that could be read, they had been persecuted. Everybody was persecuting everybody, every other branch, and they said, we want a country where we are free to pursue God, big G, without government restrictions. If you want to know the original intent of that, that's what it was. That's what it was. All of those things have been redefined now. All of them have been redefined to where you wouldn't necessarily think about this, but where my parents used to live, right down the street from them, there for probably the past 40 years or so, there was a church. It started off as a Free Will Baptist church. It became a Catholic church. Then it became a Vietnamese Catholic church. And that's probably what it's going to remain. They're building a big new facility there. The last time that I was there, right down the road from that, there was a non-denominational church. But if you keep going, there was a Hindu temple and a Buddhist temple, and I always got a kind of a kick out of it, because here are these two idols, and they have them, I mean, the two properties sit practically side by side, and the two idols kind of sit facing one another as if they are doing this idolatrous stare down, and you wouldn't think that we would be having stuff like that in America, but we do, okay? Today, I want to take you to the last of the motivators. We're going to spend probably a good portion of this week in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, we're going to see a miracle motivates people to seek God. They seek Jesus, but they seek him for the wrong reason. I don't want you seeking God for the wrong reason. But we're going to go and we're going to look at this. This to give you an idea, this comes, what is being discussed here is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. That was 5,000 men, plus the ladies, plus the children. All of them were fed with an abundance left over of five loaves and two fishes. And so when they were done, they had gathered up 12 baskets of remnants after everybody had eaten. And in verse number 14, it says, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. They realized something extraordinary had taken place. Listen to what verse number 15 says. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. These people had been hanging on Jesus' every word. They had traveled to a region where there weren't enough natural resources to be able to provide the water and the food that everybody needed for that larger crowd of people. And they sat there and they listened, and Jesus told the disciples, you take care of what they have need. And so the stage for a miracle was set, and everybody was so blessed by the miracle that Jesus, he always knows not just what is going on, but what's going on in people's hearts. So he's not only aware of things that are happening on the external, he is aware of what's going on inside. And it said he perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king. You know why? Because he fed them. He fed them. Okay. Now, is Jesus our sustainer? Yes. Absolutely. But we need to be looking for Jesus to be king because he is king, not just because we have had our tummies filled. Now, I don't know if there's that many people who really appreciate good food the way that I do. I mean, I didn't get looking the way that I do by accident. I'm not in horrible shape, but I could be in better shape. And I blame my parents. They got me addicted to food as a child, and I've required it multiple times a day, just about every day since then. I love food. But when I taste something that is extraordinary, I don't just go, that's good. No, if I'm tasting something that is seasoned well, that is satisfying, it smells good, the look is only temporary, but I'm getting ready to do damage to that food. With my teeth, I'm getting ready to make it look entirely different. I don't want to eat something that's repulsive looking, but for me, it's all about the flavor. And so whenever I eat something and it is extremely savory, I'll sit there and I'll close my eyes and I will begin to slow down the rate of my chewing. And I will enjoy and savor every bit of that meal. And I've had some fantastic meals. And in all of those meals that I've ever had, there's never been one time that I wanted to go in and find the chef and say, would you be president of the United States of America? These people came from a desperate, poor, oppressed society. Jesus feeds them miraculously, and they say, we want you to be king. They weren't wanting him to be king because of his teaching. They were wanting him to be king because he fed them, and they thought that they weren't going to have to work for their food anymore. If God can provide it miraculously, why do you need to go out and work for it? Well, I want you to know what the Bible has to say about that. The Bible says, he who will not work, not cannot work, but will not work, shall not eat. Okay? So there's a difference. There are some people who do not have the physical capabilities to go out and do something. Okay? But everybody should be able to find, most everybody should be able to find something to do. It might not be your preferred choice. I want you to know, selling shoes was not my preferred occupation when I was just getting married. Delivering flowers was not my preferred job when I first got out of Bible college. There's a lot of things that I've done. Selling items at a flea market was not my favorite job, but it did help me put food on the table for my family. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that I've done because I know what it's like to work. My first job was a paper route at 12. I had a brief job washing dishes at 15. I had another job washing dishes back in the 1990s. I've worked retail. I've worked retail electronics. I've sold furniture. I've done a whole bunch of stuff because I know that God has given me something that I can do. You say, well, what'd you do work all those other jobs for? Well, I didn't just do it for the money. I did it a lot of times because it enabled me to have relationship with people where I could show them how good God was. Okay. These people are looking to make Jesus king simply because he fed them. Let me pause for just a moment because I was told this figure recently that there are 160,000 people who are 65 and over in Brevard County. About one in three, I believe that comes out to be, or maybe not quite one in three. Just because you're retired doesn't mean the days of functionality are over for you. You may not have to punch a clock, but there's something that you can do. Listen, the gospel is meant to be multi-generational. I don't know too many churches that have an overabundance of people who are willing to help them with things to do. There are all sorts of projects that go on at a church. Now, some churches prefer to do that hired out, but I also know that almost every church, they're looking for volunteers. They're looking for Sunday school teachers and children's workers and all of that sort of stuff. So find something that you can do. Is it true that God's a miraculous provider? Yes. Does that mean that we've hit easy street and we don't have any responsibility? It doesn't mean that at all. Okay? So Jesus finds himself in a position that he knows is not God's will, in that they're wanting to make him king, as in physical king, which would have led to the Roman army coming in. And he says, look, it is time for me to go to a mountain and pray by myself. He ends up crossing the sea in the middle of the night by walking on the water. Freaks the disciples out. He has to tell them in verse number 20, he says, it's I, do not be afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. The very next day, okay? So this is the day after the feeding of the 5,000. When the people who were standing on the other side, verse number 22, of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him, now the good news is, whenever you're looking for him, you're going to find him. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Now Jesus knows what the meaning of your questions are. He was excited that they were seeking him, but he knows exactly what's going on in their life. Verse number 26, he says this, Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly. Other translations would say something like this, truly, truly, or truly I say unto you, verily, verily I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the sign, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. So Jesus tells them, I know why you're seeking me, and it's not because you saw the sign. In fact, here in just a little bit, they're going to ask him for a sign. Okay? Sometimes we are a little slow. Sometimes Jesus tells us what we're getting ready to do before we ever do it. You know, and he says, you aren't seeking me because you saw the sign. You're seeking me because you ate the loaves and you're full. Now, in an oppressive society, being full is a rarity. It's not necessarily the common thing. Jesus goes on and he says this, do not labor for the food which perishes, for the food which endures to everlasting life, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. So he said, you can't just be living from one meal to another. You've got to be living, seeking for the food that Jesus is going to give you that is going to endure to everlasting life. Okay? I've known way too many people who've wanted to live the lowest quality of life that they could. All they are looking for is to get from one meal to the next meal to the next meal, and on and on into perpetuity. They have no vision for their life except for just one more morsel of bread. I want you to know, Jesus is not just looking for you to stave off starvation for a few more hours. He's looking for you to have everlasting life. I'm talking about, I'm not just talking about eternal life after you die. I'm talking about life here, now. A blind man got healed and his life was transformed. A guy had never been able to walk. Jesus healed him. And all of a sudden, bam, his life is radically changed. Lepers were excommunicated from their families and were shunned by society. Jesus cleansed them. And all of a sudden, they're able to go back to their families, having been made whole and living a loving and peaceful and healthy life. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to manifest in my life now some of the same stuff I'm going to get to experience forever in heaven. And so I'm not just looking to get my next bill paid. I'm not just looking to get the next meal. I'm looking to thrive. And sometimes that means that you're going to have to do some things that, you know, are not all that easy, but Jesus says, you've got to seek me for the right reason. If you don't seek me for the right reason, I'll tell you a little teaser here about John chapter 6. If you don't seek him for the right reason, you're going to fall away for the wrong reason. If you don't seek him for the right reason, you will fall away for the wrong reason. They said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? This is another statement that sounds good. And Jesus answered and said to them, verse number 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Okay, so I finished off in 2020 and preaching part one of a message, believing in Jesus. Believing in Jesus. And then I preached part two of believing in Jesus. And this last week I preached this message, titled Be Living in Jesus. But everything starts with believing in him. It takes work. It takes work to believe in him. When things don't happen as fast as you would like them to, when things that you pray for, God says, I've got a different process than what you're suggesting, but thanks anyway. I had somebody tell me that here recently. I said, you know, this is what I would do in that situation. They said, thank you for your suggestion. And I said, you know what? It's your choice to make. I'm not here to make the choice for you. I'm just trying to share some stuff with you. And I will tell you this, believing in Jesus is hard work. It's hard work, but it's fulfilling work. Believing in Jesus is not going to be something that you can just commit 15 or 20 minutes to, you know, once a week, and all of a sudden you're going to be super believer, walking in all of the authority that God wants you to have. Believing in Jesus is going to take some studying his word. Believing in Jesus is going to take some serious time in prayer. Believing in Jesus is going to require seeking his will for your life. Believing in Jesus is going to be seeking his timing and the people that he wants to help equip you with in life. Believing in Jesus is going to help you to deal with the frustrations that you might encounter. I will tell you this, it is hard work. It is hard work. And so let me just throw one more thing in there. I told you that he had said up there earlier, but you seek me not because you saw the signs. In verse number 30, therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform that we may see it and believe you? Okay? I will tell you this. There is more than enough evidence as to the veracity of who Jesus is and what he claims. There is more than enough evidence to believe. It is not whether or not God needs to do one more thing that will tip us into a lifestyle of believing. It's more a matter of our will. Will we believe in him? I want to encourage you. God has blessed you. He's blessed me. And I say, let's seek him, not because he's made us full, but because he's opened our eyes to see that he is God. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Ding. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.